Welcome to the podcast Spotlight Yourself. Finland needs your warm and empathetic attitude. My name is Michaela, and with this podcast, I want to empower you to get visible, to speak up, and to show yourself as the great woman that you are. I have myself made the experience what a great enrichment this can be for a Finnish company and the colleagues here in the Nordics. It just requires a little bit of courage. Hello and welcome to this new episode, which is the second episode of the series in which I interview inspiring women who came from abroad to Finland and are now running their own businesses, their own cool projects. My interview guest today is Ines, who is from Portugal, lives in the Helsinki area, and she runs her own business as an illustrator and graphic designer that is called Seni Illustrations. And I know Ines from the Gurgon International Group of Helsinki, which is a community that you can find on Facebook for international girls living in the Helsinki area to connect and to organize events together. And Ines and myself, we met when we joined a group for a trip to Turku during the last Christmas time. And I remember that it was extremely cold when we arrived there in Turku, and we came out of the train and started walking towards the city center. And yeah, while doing that, this great discussion between us evolved, and we were talking about our projects and our visions, and we also talked about birds that you can find in Finnish nature and what is so special about birds and why they are a great motive for illustrations. This is what we will hear in a minute. So Ines, welcome to this podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. You just remind me how cold it was. I had completely forgot about it.
So would you like to introduce yourself for everyone who does not know you?
Yeah, sure. I'm Ines, as you said. I'm from Portugal. I have worked as a graphic designer for over 11 years, but the pandemic made me see that graphic design is fun, but not exactly what I wanted to do for a living. So it made me start working towards what I wanted. And finally, in 2022, beginning of this year, I opened my business in illustration and graphic design.
Okay, and when did you came to Finland? Was it during the pandemic or a bit before?
Was actually like 2 weeks before the lockdown. We arrived here.
Perfect timing.
Yes, perfect timing. I came here because my husband got a job here. He's also artist-related things. We got here because he found a job. He didn't want to work from home anymore. 2 weeks after he started his new job, everyone inside. So he got to work from home a bit more, which is quite fun. But yeah, it was just the end of February 2020.
Okay. And at this time, you were also looking for a job for yourself as a graphic designer here in Finland?
I had the company I was working for in Portugal allow me the opportunity to keep working for them remotely, even before pandemic. But I did try finding some work here in Finland because pay-wise, Portugal is not nearly close to Finland. So I tried to find it. But I think also, I don't think it's quite easy. And also because it was the pandemic times, it was really hard for me. And then I just thought, well, I'm trying to find a job on something I don't really like. So let's just make my own job on something that I actually do like.
Then you discovered your love for birds, or how did that develop?
That was actually quite weird how it happened. I always loved animals. Like, I'm crazy for all animals, actually. And while I was just drawing randomly things, I was following a girl on Instagram, and she was drawing birds. And they were so cute, and I thought, I want to draw birds as well. And I started drawing birds, and I realized how much I actually love birds, and reminded me that as a kid, I used to even like save little birds or everything, but because my sister has bird phobia, I never was able to follow that passion more closely. So now that I'm here far away from her, birds took over everything, my house, my life, my interests.
So you started drawing them in your free time while you had the job still for your Portuguese company?
Yeah. So the company I used to work for, it was events. So during the pandemic, there was no events. Mm. So basically it was a year where I was doing nothing. I had all the time in the world. And before even coming here, I told my husband, I want to draw more because I used to draw so much more because I always went to art school. But then when I went to college, the art classes basically were like two steps back. So I stopped drawing. So here I started drawing even more because I had all the time. And that's when I was like, I really, really like doing this. So I was like, okay, but in my mind, drawing is something that is so fun that could never be a job. I had this idea that if something is really fun for you, it could not be a job. It will be your hobby, but not a job. But my husband is also an artist, and he said, no. It could totally be your job.
Mm-hmm. Is he drawing as well, or is he doing something else?
He works in video games. He's okay. A 3D artist, so he makes stuff in 3D. But he was like, yeah, of course you can make art as your job. You just need to find what you like doing. Mm-hmm. And since he said that, I was like, okay, we'll find out then.
Okay. Was it then so that you created first a lot of material, like a lot of pictures, a lot of illustrations, and after you had a big sample, you were thinking, okay, how I could sell it? Or how have you then started making a business out of your hobby?
I have for a really long time. I started drawing again, like more often. Not long after I started dating my now husband, and I would draw situations of our lives, like nights that he had a nightmare and he grabbed me in the middle of the night. I would do little illustrations of those things. Mm-hmm. So when I got here, I already had a bit of illustrations, a little bit of, I wouldn't call it illustrations, but like a bit of drawings. And I have been doing some drawings for like commissions for friends and things like that. But when I was here, I started drawing with the purpose of selling it, either the mm-hmm. service of drawing something customized or selling the product that it was drawn. It started very slowly until I decided that this is what I wanted to do. And then I basically gave all in.
But I mean, you had then your own motives, right? That you wanted to do, like with the birds. Was there ever that idea, hey, I really want to draw the birds and I want to sell that? And then, no, okay.
No. I started with most random things.
Yeah.
The first thing I started drawing was, well, before were the situations, like the little illustrations of day-to-day things with me and my husband. Then it was plants, especially like succulents and cactus. Uh-huh. I would draw a lot of those things.
Interesting as well.
A lot. Okay. It was all that I was doing was plants. And not flowers, plants, very specific.
Cactus, yeah, okay.
Cactus, succulents, like a few normal things, but like, but not a lot of flowers. But yeah, so I did that. And then I started drawing people. Like small caricatures, like not even caricatures, but like small stylized people, because I'm not that good at anatomy. So I started drawing that, and those I started for sale. And I did sell in 2020, Christmas of 2020, I sold a few as Christmas gifts, actually. And then I think I passed from the plants and people to the birds. And actually, now I'm a bit transitioning again. I'm separating currently the illustration part and the art part, because there is a difference. So in the art part, I'm doing my birds, but in the illustration part, I'm trying to go for something more commercial.
But would you say, I mean, when you had these, like, I mean, when you saw the successes that you were selling, the first illustrations and the first drawings that you did, was that what made you confident that, hey, it's not just a hobby, I can really earn money with that? And was that the basis to make it growing? Because I can imagine when you just have that hobby, or I would think if you draw something and maybe you like it, but maybe then do you have the doubts, like, okay, is there really a target group who would like to buy this, or is it just
that is my problem
and nobody else?
That is my problem. To this day, I'm fighting the thing of this. I know that this is a possible and this is a reality, and this, because I look at other people. Or I'm not the only one doing this. The beginning of when I started selling it was that moment, like, I can do this. I actually can do this. But I'm not even close to I don't think I'll ever be, because that's an artist curse, to feeling like incredibly confident in what I do. I just, because I like what I do, I just keep going. So even if I feel like, oh, my work now is like going down the drain, is not, I'm doing it, it's so bad, I haven't done this for so long, the fact that I like the process and I like doing it is what keeps me going. With this, every time I sell something, I get very excited, and is a kind of affirmation that yes, you can do this, and yes, you're good. But my little artist brain goes, are you? And you have to fight that. And I think, to be honest, that's the difference when you're trying to do something that you truly love, is like you'll always have these moments of, am I able to do this? Like, is it worth it? But if you like the process, then you will continue doing it.
Okay. So what has now evolved from that? I mean, I've seen you have an online shop, right? And you have,
yes,
illustrations that you sell, you have postcards, you have these little buttons based on your drawings. I mean, what has now developed out of that? What do you have?
It developed to a very confusing mess, but so I do have now two sides of the thing, one to the final client and one to the business. To the business is more illustrations, like commercial illustrations that people will use in ads, in publicity to their brands, in logos, anything like that. And then there's the part where it's more commercial, where I take the drawings or the paintings that I like and I put them in sellable form. Let's put it this way. So yes, I have pins, I have postcards, I have prints, I have tote bags with those things. So I have I have on my website, I have the store. I also have it on Etsy. I'm trying again Etsy, because Etsy is very complicated, let's put it this way. But I have it on my store. I do go to markets and pop-up events and I sell those. But on the back part of the business, I'm also working to provide services to other companies, to other small businesses or big businesses that may need an illustration.
So are your customers, or the people who buy the products from you, are they mainly Finnish, or do you have them Europe wide? Do you still have a lot of people in Portugal who are buying your illustrations?
Not people from Portugal. I have one store that has stuff there for sale. But I've noticed that nature does not go very well in Portugal, nature themes. So I sell way more here. I cannot tell you for sure if they're more Finnish or more internationals, because as living in Helsinki area, like, there's a bunch of both and we all speaking English, so I don't know. But there's a lot of Finns that I know, because for them the nature theme is closer to home, is something that they do enjoy more than maybe, for example, in Portugal is more architecture. So here, I think they do enjoy more. So I do sell more here, way more. It's not even comparable. To Portugal.
Yeah, and you also offer workshops for people who want to try it out themselves, like painting.
So I have given some workshops. I have given two different kinds of them. So I work with watercolor is one that I have been working the longest. So I did some basic watercolor workshops last Christmas, actually, for like creating Christmas cards.
Mm-hmm.
And I also done one, which I think it was more successful. People really enjoyed it, which was how sketching and drawing is a way to, it's like almost a therapy in a way. It's a moment for yourself where you focus on only that, nothing else. And the workshop I was teaching, I don't think it's a good word, but I was explaining how you can do it without the self-conscious part, without thinking, like without being too precious and wanting the piece to be perfect, and just enjoying that moment for yourself and the process of doing something with your hands. Because nowadays it's like everything's computers and things like that, and there's something special about drawing with pen, paper, pencil, whatever. So that workshop was quite fun. I do also have the possibility of classes. So I give a few to family. It's not families, but like mothers and kids or like small groups. The basics of drawing, or even a continuation of this workshop on how to use it to just as a meditative, mindful exercise.
Is that also something then you do most of the time, that you work with pen and with watercolors, or do you have a lot of digital work as well, or is it half-half?
Now the digital has been growing a bit because I have been focused on creating a bigger portfolio for business, but my pride and joy is still paper, and I've done a few mediums, so like coloring pencils, watercolor, acrylic. Those are still my favorite, but I understand that for commercial purpose, like digital is, it's better. And I have, I don't know if you can see, but I have this big drawing table here. Mm-hmm. Because if I don't know, maybe I'm old in the sense, but I need to be looking at what I'm doing. I need to be looking at what the pen is hitting. I need to have that control in a way. Yeah. So for digital, I have to use either like this big table or the iPad, but I still enjoy pretty much. I like get dirty, because when you paint with watercolors and with acrylics, you always get dirty. You always end up with paints halfway of your arms and you don't know how it ended up there.
But you look very clean at the moment. I mean, there's nothing left.
You haven't seen my nails. I'm kind of hiding them on purpose. They are not, I have black somehow. Don't know how it ended up here, but yes. It would also be from yesterday, because today I didn't do anything painting related. So it was yesterday's ink that, even through showers, because acrylic doesn't come out that easy, is still in my hands.
Okay. So, I mean, how much time in total do you spend during the week, or also then on the weekends in front of the drawing board and creating all that, and investing time for your business? Is it like a normal full-time job? Is it even more? What would you say?
More.
Yeah.
More. It's more. Yeah. It's more because usually, like, when you have your own business and you want to expand your brand and everything, as much as I don't really appreciate it, for example, social media is really a big part of it, and you have to keep it coming.
Mm.
And also, there's so much work that is not doing what you like to do when you have a business. Contacting suppliers, seeing if, like, I sent it some things to print. They came out wrong, so I had to contact them again, like, look, this is not good. So you spend a good amount of time on doing that, especially if you're trying to develop a new product, which I just did recently. Then you have to do the searching, like which companies are good for it, like how much will it cost me? because as a small business, I will not print 1,000 of anything. So is it worth it for me to do it? Like, can I print this much? Where can I print cheaper? How much will I charge? Do forms, that was something that I had to, I'm very shy and trying to put things out there that are not my work, like my art. So putting forms out there, Google forms for people to answer, for me to know, like, is this idea that I have a good idea? Would, and if so, if people would like it, how much would they be willing to pay for it? So it is more than a normal job. And usually the normal working hours I spend as more like business side of it, not the working, like not the creating side of it. So yeah, I have a painting right, well, after my behind my computer that has been there for, I don't know, maybe a month, but it's also because I'm scared of touching it. So it's also a bit of that.
Okay. But all these researches and then contacting the companies and contacting potential customers and like with these forms, as you said, I mean, you are in contact then a lot with Finnish people. Or would you say that this is easy to do here in Finland? How do you feel of that?
It hasn't been the part of business yet. So far I've been doing final clients and it will be okay. Like Finnish, non-Finnish is fine. In terms of Finnish ones, I've been very lucky in the whole process of opening a business, and I had the help from Business Espoo. It's like similar to Nuco, but in Espoo, which is where I live. Mm-hmm. And I hate talking on the phone, but they tell me that I have to. So I'm creating the portfolio to send them emails and then call them, probably while shaking tremendously. But the good thing that I've noticed is I've been doing research on those companies that I want to contact. It's quite easy to find a contact, or it's easy enough to find a contact. It's not that super heating. Like, it's not like the person you need to contact is like a unicorn. It's hidden somewhere in the mountains of that business. No, you have the names online. You just need to know, like, I need this person or this person. And you have sometimes even their phone number. So in that sense, it's quite easy. The calling part is the one that worries me. But besides that, it's quite easy.
Yeah. Would you say it has become better? I mean, have you also grown personally in that?
Definitely. I have. But not to the point of calling. So recently I was in a coffee shop and they have a chalk sign that is very poorly done. The idea, like this, the content is fine, but the design of it is very poorly done. And I went there with two friends that also have businesses. And we were talking about, I don't know, a bunch of things, none related. And I kept that sign in the back of my mind. And I wanted to go there and like, look, do you want, can I do it? Can I do you like a better sign? But I was so nervous. And in my mind, I was creating like, okay, no. You're going home and then you contact them via Instagram because they're very active. And that is it. Like, and in the last second we were going out, I somehow, don't ask me how, but I got the nerve to go to the guys and said, is that sign yours? And they said, yes. And then for some reason I got very cocky and I said, I can do it better. And I said this and the next second, like I died inside. Like, what have you done?
Okay.
What, like, where does that confidence came from? And now you're doomed because you said you will send them offers for them to do those things. But I did. I did. I came home. I have chalkboards around. So I did a few things even on my iPad and I sent them. And they're like, yeah, sounds good. But I was so terrified at the same time, so proud of myself that you talk to them not in a customer way, but in a, you're not the customer, but trying to make them the customer. And yeah. I was so proud that I managed to do that. Yeah. So I am evolving slowly, but I am. And I think it's quite nice because one thing that I've noticed about Finns is in their majority, they're very shy. They don't like to talk with people much. They'd also like to talk to you because in their minds, they're like invading your space. But when you talk to them, the vast majority, they are so nice and so welcoming. So I think that makes it quite easy or easier. But unfortunately, my brain is still very stuck in the Portuguese way, which is definitely not this. So it's taking me a while, but yeah, I'm getting there.
Cool. But is the outcome of that story that now you have a new customer by taking?
It will be a test run.
Yeah.
It will be a test run. It will be fun because we're also going to make a pop-up in that place. So it will be a 2-in-1.
Yeah, cool.
but it's a test run because the chalk art and things like that is something that I'm starting. And so I'm doing this more to find, I want to find good places that I can create something for them, even if they didn't pay me at this moment. And then I can post it online and I can say, I did this for these people. Because if you create a clientele and if you create this, what's the word? Like this portfolio where you worked and when you created something for a place that is very in vogue or something like that, it is very good in my area. It's quite nice to have, like, I've done something for these guys.
So good that you took that action. I mean, it sounds just amazing. I think we all know that we don't know, okay, should we not? Maybe you're too scared. And then you have this one moment and you are brave and you go. And then, I mean, if everything pays off at the end, it's great.
Yeah, but it was, trust me, my heart was beating in my mouth when I went to talk to them. I was like, and that's the thing is, like, I usually, if people say, oh, I like your work, I was like, oh, thank you. But I always feel that my work was like lucky, like, oh, I did this. This is nice. But it was just luck. So I don't know how my brain came up with, I can do better than that. I felt very dumb while doing that. And then I was like, no, you can do it better than that. It's like, there's no arguments on that. You can maybe not make it as good as you envision, but you can make it better than that. So you didn't lie. You can go with that.
Yeah.
So we shall see how it goes.
Sounds great. I think you can really be proud of yourself already. But then, I mean, from this chalk work, are there any other visions that you have for your business for the future?
I would like to do this more often to a lot of business because to approach people that have like restaurants, stores and everything and suggest, can I make it for you? But then like pay me. Because there's the thing is like, I'm getting older and I stopped liking or accepting doing something that is not fun. Like if I had to do it, I will do it, but I will much rather run after something I truly enjoy. And creating chalk art for me is super fun. It's me going back to being a child again, getting all dirty, all full of chalk everywhere, but it's so much fun. So, and I've seen like, there's a lot of places in Helsinki, for example, that have those chalkboards outside. And some of them are like, you could be better. And I can make it better, not only because I have the practice, because I have two chalkboards at home where I can practice. So not only because of that, I can create something better for them. They would have something better. I will have a client. So it's a win-win situation.
Mm.
So yeah, I would like to, I just need to have more of that. Hi, can I make you a better chalkboard sign?
Yeah, I think it sounds so amazing. And you're a great example how you can convert your passion and your hobby into a business.
Yeah, I'm. Don't get me wrong. I still work graphic design and I still have one client that I truly, truly love working with them because one, I get to draw for them as well. And they're super fun to make stuff for them. So I do like it. I'm not saying like, oh, I will never do graphic design again. But I want to make graphic design that I like. I want to make things that I'm proud of, that I can say, I did this. And that I want to have fun in the process. Because, for example, painting a chalk sign that is like, I have a wall here that's like around 140 centimeters tall by 80 centimeters long or wide. It takes about, the last one I did, it took me about 4 or 5 hours to do it altogether. So it's a really long time.
Yeah.
But it's 5 hours that I did something and I'm incredibly proud of it. And I was having so much fun. I always have this thing that I put my headphones on. I have playlists, which is quite fun because I have a newsletter and every month I send the newsletter that has the playlist with songs I've been listening on repeat the past month because it continues changing. So usually if, for example, you receive your newsletter today, you knew that all the work I've done the past month, I was listening to those songs on repeat. And I just do that and I just draw there for hours and hours on end. Then I realized that chalk dries your hands so much because of chalk and because you have to clean it with water. And then you look at your hands and it's a disaster. Like you need to dive them in cream. It's so bad. But you had fun. You spent 5 hours. Your back is hurting because, again, I'm not young. But you had so much fun. And discovering that this can be a thing, that this could be my job, was so liberating. And my mind went, okay, so why do I have to do something that I do not like? If I can do this, I just have to be good at it. And how am I good at it? I do it more. Mm. But it's okay because I like it.
Mm. And I guess it wasn't also the drive, right, to continue not coming up with a, like, one-time enthusiasm and then after a while getting demotivated. But
yeah,
I think you fight for it on a continuous basis.
The thing is that I like the process. Liking the process makes me, how can I say this, push a bit further. Like, I'm not confident, but I like the process. Okay, let's do it.
Yeah, and it keeps you going, I assume, right? If you're not just
for
the target, but if you love the process, then it's easier.
Yes, exactly. And you may feel like that this specific project is not going as you want it, so you stop it for a while because you're not feeling comfortable or confident or whatever, and then you do something else, and then you gain the practice again, and because you're enjoying it, then you're like, you know what? Maybe I can finish that one. And you go and finish that one.
Mm.
So, yeah, I think the most important thing is liking what you do. But my husband used to say this to me all the time, and I would call him insane. Like, how can you like work? Because, like, it just makes no sense for me. Because I haven't figured out what I really like doing. And I think that people, when... Of course, there will always be projects that are not as fun. There will always be clients that are not as fun. But when you like what you're doing, it gets a bit easier if you had to work late or if you have to work harder. And so if you have something that is yours, it's even more because it's mine. It's my name. It's my business. It's my baby.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think is liking what you do is extremely important.
Mm. Yeah. And unfortunately, I mean, we are a podcast here and people cannot see all the beautiful pictures. I mean, I'm seeing them in your background now as we are talking over Zoom. I love the things that you do. I mean, when I look at your Instagram profile, the pictures, especially the birds, I mean, I like them as well. They look super great. So for everyone who wants to see your work, like the acrylic paintings that you have and the watercolor paintings and the chalk work and everything, so where can people find you?
I think the best place, and it's gonna sound very weird, but is Instagram, because on the website is more curated and I select a few things. Instagram is more like a dump, so I dump content there. So everything that I'm doing, sometimes things that I stopped doing, I also put there, because I think it's important to also share that you're not always doing things perfectly and everything comes out great. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's nice to say, like, I have this for a month and it will stay another month because I'm not feeling confident. So I would say to watch my work Instagram, but to see if there's something they would like to have, maybe my website would be better.
Yeah. And you have a newsletter as well, as you said.
Yeah. So the newsletter is quite... Yeah, that's the part people like the most. But there's other things. Usually on the newsletter, I talk about pop-up that I'm going to be, or markets. Sometimes there's freebies, like cell phone backgrounds. I'm working on something really cool, which is a coloring book with birds. So I have sent a few pages also there for people for free.
Mm-hmm.
Also, like, new products. On the next one, which will probably come out the day that the podcast goes on, goes into in the air, I will have a pre-sale, a pre-order. You can pre-order the notebook. I created a notebook and will be a special prize. So there's a few things. And it's only once a month. So not to clug anyone's
inbox. Coloring in part sounds great to me, because I think that's, like, as you said before, it's a kind of the therapy thing as well, right? I mean, I'm not as good as drawing. I would just, I mean, if I have that example, I can just take some colorful pens and paint it, coloring it in.
And I'm trying to make them not kids style.
Yeah.
So they are realistic birds.
Yeah.
And what I intend to do is also, I'm going to put the name of the bird and maybe a fun fact about the bird. So if someone wants to check how the bird is in real life, they can try the painting as it is, or they can just paint it whatever color they want. But it will not be like those mandala things, like full of things. It will be more aesthetically pleasing. So it will be more like a painting that you will paint. So I'm very excited about it.
Okay, sounds cool. And also, I mean, Christmas is around the corner. So you said also before you have some Christmas markets where you're going to be. Is it there that you will sell your products there on site?
Yes. So I will have a few. I don't remember all, but I remember one, which I think is going to be the greatest, which it will be at Muji in Campi Shopping Center.
Okay.
I will be there on the 17th and 18th of December. And I'm going to have Christmas cards, Christmas tags for gifts, tote bags, other postcards, pins, so basically notebooks, everything, all the products that I have at the moment, they will probably be there. But I have a few more, but I also have that information on my website. There's a little page called events, and I said where I'm going to be, what time, and all of that. So.
Okay, cool. I mean, I will put everything in the show notes that people have a chance to look on your beautiful creations and follow that up. Very cool.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Yeah. I have one last question that I ask so for all of my podcast interview guests, because, I mean, you know, Finland is a small nation and people are also very proud of their nation. And I have always been asked by my Finnish friends and also Finnish colleagues what I would like most about Finnish people. And I would like to give that question to you. So, I mean, except of Finnish nature and Finnish birds, what do you value most about Finnish people?
I think that, as I said before, when you get to talk to them, which that is the hard part. The beginning of talking to them is the hard part. But when you get to talk to them, they are so incredibly nice. And they also get very excited, for example, when you talk about, like, do you like the country? They get very excited. They are always very willing to help as well. I've noticed that when I try to speak my very little Finnish at coffee shops or something, they get very excited when I need, when I say, don't go to English again, let me practice my Finnish, and they get as happy as I get when I understand what they're saying. So I think actually Finnish people are quite nice. They're a bit hard to get to the core of and to have the opportunity to speak with them. But once you can, I haven't had that much of a bad experience here. And I think that is pretty awesome.
Great. So it sounds like you're happy with your life in Finland, with having the nature so close to you. You will continue drawing the birds, drawing nature.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. I have two bird feeders in my yard, so I'm attracting the birds to me to inspire more and more.
Really cool. It was very lovely to have you here and to talk to you. Thank you so much for sharing everything. I think it was really, really interesting, especially for running the business and, as I said, creating the business out of your greatest passion and your hobby.
Thank you so much.
That will be a big role model for others, I will be sure.
Thank you so much. I hope I could maybe guide people to do a bit more what they truly love, because I know that their lives will be a little bit happier. So yes, thank you.
Well, that's a great conclusion. Thank you.
Thank you very much for listening. I hope you have found some new inspirations, and I would be really happy to connect with you via my website michaela-kettner.coach or via social media to hear some feedback from you to this podcast and also what your current challenges are, how you want to become more visible. You can find me on Instagram under michaela.kettner.fi and also on LinkedIn. And no worries, if you find it challenging to spell my German name, you will find all my contact details in the show notes of this podcast. So I wish you a nice rest of the day, get visible and stay tuned. Bye-bye.